God has a destiny with the United States of America, and he is going to fulfill his plan with this great nation.
This is Global Air Force with your host, Jim Rome.
Praise God, it is another beautiful day. Many years ago, a small, insignificant, unlearned Indonesian man by the name of Mel Tari was on his way to the United States. Mel did not remain insignificant for long.
He shared this vision with us today via recording.
Here he is, Mel Tari.
Thank you so much. Praise the Lord. I need you to do me a favor, please. I came with a friend that I've walked with for 47 years, and you'll make me so happy if you can give him the warmest stand-up ovation for my friend, Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Bless your holy name. It is a pleasure to be with you. My name is Mel Tari, and I came from the country of Indonesia. And in case you wonder where it is one of the most beautiful countries in the world. And of course, I have to say so because that is where I was born. It is half the way around the world from here. The country of Indonesia, located between two continents, the continent of Asia to the north. And in case you have been away from school for a little bit, so you wonder where the continent of Asia is, it is where countries like India, China, Vietnam, Korea, Malaysia, Thailand. It is the biggest Muslim country in the world, by the way. And I think Pastor Majid here can appreciate that, coming from Palestine and the Middle East. He understand the culture and the kind of people that I came from. But I want to let you know that today, by the grace of God, and because of Jesus and the power of the Holy Ghost, we have seen literally millions of those Muslims come to know Jesus in these last 40-some years. Missionaries always think about closed doors. But ladies and gentlemen, my Bible told me that when he opened the doors, nobody can close it. And the Father sent the Son to come so that whosoever believes in him shall be saved. And that including the Muslims. And I'm here to let you know, ladies and gentlemen, that there's exciting time ahead of us. Because I'm looking forward in this next decade to see literally millions and millions of the Muslims from all over the world come to know Jesus. Because I'm declaring to you this morning, their time has come. Where not only the sons of Isaac will come to worship the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, but the sons of Ishmael will come too. Because for them as well, Jesus has come and died and rose back from the dead. It's going to happen, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm going to tell you why from the little experience that I have in my little country, Indonesia. But that is the country that I came from. The country of Indonesia is the fourth largest country in the world today, population-wise. The biggest one, of course, is China, with close to 1.5 billion, with a B, people. One out of every four people alive in the world today are Chinese. That's why friends of ours that have three kids, they are thinking about having the fourth child. So I kindly said to them, are you sure you want the fourth child? They said, yes. Why you are asking the question? I said, I want to make sure that you know what you're getting yourself to. Because the fourth child is going to be a Chinese. Nothing wrong with the Chinese. God made plenty of them, so there has to be something wonderful about the Chinese, ladies and gentlemen. But I told my friends, since once out of every four people are Chinese, your fourth one will be a Chinese. Now, that is my, terrible logic, you might say. But once in a while, you know, poking a little fun with a friend wouldn't hurt, you know, especially when it's snowing outside. And so those are the Chinese, the biggest country in the world. The second one is India with a little over 1 billion people today. The third one is the great United States of America, my new country here. I belong to since I came to this country 40-some years ago, became a citizen over 32 years ago. And I'm here to proclaim to you, ladies and gentlemen, that God has a destiny with the United States of America, and He is going to fulfill His plan with this great nation. And please don't argue with me because I'm a little stubborn about it. And the reason I'm stubborn about it is because my Bible told me that in the end days, kings and presidents will bring the glory of their nations into New Jerusalem. That including this nation and many of the 240 plus nations in the world. God is dealing with nations, and the reason He put the church here is not so that we got discouraged, but so that we can rise and fulfill our destiny, so nations, including this one here, will bring their glory unto the presence of God. America, God has a plan and a purpose for this country, and you are here as Americans, ladies and gentlemen. Let us rise and fulfill our destinies, because there are nations and people out there that can use a little help from each one of us here. We Americans can go and share with them about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we can help make a difference in the nations of the world. That is why I'm excited about coming to see. And the reason I'm excited about it, ladies and gentlemen, is because I came from these small little islands in the country of Indonesia. We have no possibility to do anything worth talking about in the natural. But ladies and gentlemen, when you allow Jesus to change your life and the Holy Spirit to fill your heart, you never know the tremendous possibilities that exist in God. I came from the Presbyterian Church, and most people will equate the Presbyterian Church as God's frozen people. Now, please don't repeat it, because that is kind of mean if you don't belong to the Presbyterian Church. But I can say so because I belong to the Presbyterian Church, you know, so I can get away with it, you know. We are God's frozen people, but you know what? When God sends the fire, the frozen people become rivers that flow with the grace and the power of God. And wherever that river goes, there is life. Wherever that river goes, the trees were growing in both sides. And my Bible told me it brings forth fruit in all the seasons. It is wonderful what God can do, ladies and gentlemen. Let me finish my introduction here. So the third largest country is the great United States of America. And the reason I'm a little enthused about the United States of America is because God told me to come here and became a citizen. And I am not going to, you know, let this country go unto the enemy's hand. No, sir. Because God tell me to come here to be part of the great nation for which God has a plan and a purpose for. And this great nation here will make a difference and will be part of what God is doing in my generation. And I'm glad that you are part of it, ladies and gentlemen. Because I tell you what, God is ready to rock and roll. But I'm meaning the rock and rolls here is when the Holy Spirit rock and roll, you know, and release the power of God and change and touch the heart of men and women. Young lady, you ain't seen nothing yet until you let Jesus to totally control your life. I know it because I was 19 years old when I gave my heart to Jesus. And this last 47 years has been a trip that I have never forgotten, because He has touched millions of lives. He raised people from the dead, and He changed water unto wine, and He did things that totally astounded me. And you and your generation can rise and allow the Holy Ghost to use you, so that you can see the light that God is going to release that you cannot possibly see without Him. So I tell you what, you walk with Jesus and be serious with Him. Okay, friend? Give me five. So United States of America, the third largest country in the world. The fourth largest country in the world is the country of Indonesia that I came from. We have 250 plus million people today. And the fifth one is the country of Brazil with about 200 million people. And the rest of them, they are great countries. But let's not bother counting since they're under 200 million, okay? I came from the smallest of the Indonesian islands. The country is so small that if you Google map it, you probably will miss it. And there is no hard feelings about it, because the Google map miss it, but Jesus didn't. Oh, because 47 years ago, he looked down from heaven, ladies and gentlemen, and he saw us and the little island, and he saw this little 19-year-old boy that was sick with malaria and has been praying for years. And saw this little boy, a young man that was 19 years old, that was sick with malaria, that have taken all the medication, has been praying to be healed, but nothing happened. And of course, this young boy here was very, very perturbed, because he read in his Bible, just like the people in the New Testament church here. When your heart is seeking after God and you're willing to take the step to do something about it, you take one step, sir, and Jesus is going to take 10 steps, and you will be surprised at what he's going to do. And so this young man read the Bible, and the Bible said, Yesus Christus tidak berubah kemarin, hari ini, dan selama-lamanya. That's just the way we say it in Indonesian, if you don't mind. It means Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And how come if he's the same yesterday, today, and forever? So the young man reasoned, you know, you don't have to be, theologians to understand the meaning of that word. That simply means what he did then, he can do now. And what he can do now, he can do forever. And if you read the Bible, ladies and gentlemen, I mean, if you ever want to read something that really turn you on and help you and cause you to somersault, read the Bible. And not just read it and believe it. Don't read the Bible with, oh, is that true? No, that's a stupid way of doing it. If you want to read it and ask the question if that is true, well, why you read all the other stupid books that are out there, you know, like the novels and all that, you know. You know it isn't true, those ones, and you read it too, and you got excited, and you sit there crying. What a waste of emotion. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to read something and got emotional about it and got enthused about it, read your Bible. Because the Bible said God saw up big time. He has a plan and purpose for mankind, and he's going to fulfill it, and he's going to do it and bring it to pass. It doesn't matter. There's a million demons sitting out there and stand in the way between God and you. Because God so loved the world, he gave Jesus, ladies and gentlemen, so that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And when you talk about everlasting life, sir, you aren't just talking about going to church and singing. You're talking about the very life of God that is in you. That is every inch of your being, every cell of your being, being made alive by the power and the presence of the Holy Ghost. Where the very DNA of God is in you. And the very presence of God can change and take away the sickness that is in your body. And sir, in the name of Jesus, you can be healed and be strong, because the presence of God is in you, can make a difference. Because my Bible said, when the Spirit of the living God that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, it will revive your mortal bodies. It will make this body to become alive and strong in the name of Jesus. And so is everybody sitting here. You can be healed in Jesus' name. In Brazil last week, and we were just standing up there, and I said to the people, be healed. Why did I say it? Because that is what the Bible said. It is the power of the promise and the presence of God and the name of Jesus that make a difference. And so I keep on praying, and in the end of the meeting, a lady came forward and said, I was in the meeting there, Brother Mel, and the moment you said, be healed in the name of Jesus, the pain that has been in my back for 30-some years, and I thought I'm going to live with it for the rest of my life, just disappeared, poof, like that, and it was gone. I said, that's kind of like my Jesus. Because you see, ladies and gentlemen, in these last 47 years, I have seen God raise people from the dead, make the blind to see and the crippled to walk. And if he can do that, ladies and gentlemen, everything else is sort of kind of like, you know, easy for Jesus to do. You know, if you hang the stars in the skies and you create all the galaxies that even the brightest of the people in NASA and Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Pasadena with the Hubble telescope out there hasn't been able to count the numbers of the galaxies in the universe. Man, that kind of God should be able to do just about anything you and I need him to do. And if he isn't, ladies and gentlemen, we might as well quit church. If God can do it, ladies and gentlemen, you and I are toast. You know what I mean? You and I are doomed if God can do anything. But I came from the little island this morning, ladies and gentlemen, to tell you that the God of the New Testament, but the God of the New Testament, ladies and gentlemen, is well and alive. How did I know? Because I came to him 47 years ago as a Presbyterian. I just got the potential to go to Patrice Lumumba University to study to become a medical doctor. And when you got scholarship to go to Moscow or to America in those days, you better take it. And I intend to take the scholarship at that time. But I was a little concerned. Going to Russia, they might brainwash me, you know. And being a good Presbyterian, I didn't want them to tell me something that is different than what my grandpa and grandma and papa and mama has told me and what I've learned from my pastor in the church. So I want to talk with God about it. And my concern is that I've been sick with malaria for this last, you know, 3 or 4 years while I was in high school. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I have sick and haven't found. I have knocked the door and the door hasn't been opened. I have asked and have not received. Yet my Bible said, if I seek, I shall what? I shall find. If I knock, the door shall be opened. And if I ask, I shall receive. Well, it didn't happen to me. So there's a little problem there that I have, and I want to discuss it over with God. And I figure, you know, God's still talking. He talked with Moses. Why shouldn't he talk with me? Not that I want to equate myself with Moses, but, you know, I just want God to be fair, don't you think? If he talked with the people in the Bible, and he didn't talk with you and I today, now you got a reason to got your feelings hurt a little bit. Oh, but I'm here, ladies and gentlemen, that God is a God who communicates with his people. Oh, I remember the old story in the Bible. They were hiding there in the bush somewhere because they just did something they shouldn't be doing. And guess what? Oh, God could have just sent down the lightning and killed them for being. But he didn't. Oh, he said, Adam, where are you, boy? It don't matter where you hide today because you think you have done something wrong. The voice that you'll hear from heaven is not the voice that shall say, what have you done? Get out of there and I'll teach you a little lesson. Until you repent, I don't want to see your face no more. That wasn't the voice that I heard in the garden. The voice said, where are you? Oh, that is the voice of a father looking for a son and a daughter that have gone away and want to embrace him back in the abundance of his grace. God is a God who communicates, especially, ladies and gentlemen, if you have an iPad. We have a Wi-Fi here, but neither pastor nor I get the password. So it doesn't quite work the way I want it, but what can you do? If you ain't got the password to heaven, you better got it done now and here, okay? And the password is easy. J-E-S-U-S. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Jesus. But let me finish my story before we got excited with that. So I knelt down in the floor. This is easy to kneel down on because that's a nice carpet. Where I grew up, ladies and gentlemen, everything is made out of biodegradable material. Grass roof, bamboo wall, and dirt floor. So I knelt down on the dirt floor. Oh, thank you, Jesus. So I was down in my knees, but I was a little ornery. I said, God, you said, if I seek, I shall find, ask, I shall receive. I've been asking for 4 years and nothing happened. What is the matter with this Presbyterian church? Please tell me what is wrong with them and I will straighten them out in no time. And I mean it. And I wait for a long time and heaven was quiet. My knees starting to hurt. So I said, God, is there anything wrong with me? Probably. No, don't say probably. Don't amen too loud on that. And so I said to the Lord, you know, I've gone through all that, you know. And how come you didn't answer my prayer? What's wrong? So, is there anything wrong with me? Probably. Didn't expect any answer. And do you know what, ladies and gentlemen? I heard a voice just as loud as you hearing me now. And it said, yes. I was so shocked. I turned around and said, devil got to behind me. Then I realized the devil probably have nothing to do with that. I was talking to God, so I said, God, what do you mean by saying, yes, sir? And he said, Mel, you have gone to church for 19 years, and that is good. I said, oh, he noticed. But you are not my child yet. You are not a Christian. I said, no, that hurt my feelings. After going to church all these years, and God said, I'm not a Christian, you know, I got off my knees. Walk out the door, slammed the door behind me, and I said, this is the first time God talked to me, and guess what? He managed to hurt my feelings already. So I walk out, and for 3 days I said, I hope God apologizes. I didn't come back to the house, so I stayed with my friends for 3 days, hoping that God would apologize. He didn't. 3 days later, I came back to the house, opened the door, gingerly walk in, and I said, God, I'm sorry for walking out on you the other day. I knelt back in the same hole in the dirt floor there. I said, if you don't mind, please forgive me for walking out on you the other day. You do that, I'll forgive you for the way you talk. And I said, now that we're even, let us continue the conversation. I said, God, why did you say that I was not a Christian? Isn't going to church every Sunday qualify me to become a Christian? Is that right? You know, you've gone to church all your life. It probably should qualify you to become a Christian. So I thought, now God's going to apologize for sure. And the voice luckily came back. I was afraid he wouldn't be talking to me the way ornery I was. You know, so I wasn't expecting. But I was happy that the voice came back. And the voice said, Mel, if going to the barn once a week qualify you to become a cow, then going to the church once a week will qualify you to become a Christian. I said, I hate the way God talks. But he's straight. He's to the point. So I said, God, I think you're right. And you might not understand it. I still don't understand it after. But you know what? 47 years ago, I said, God, Jesus, come into my life. Do whatever you need to do, and I'll go with you all the way. And you know what? It has changed my life. Because that moment when Jesus came into my heart, I felt like something off my back, 1,000 pounds that I didn't know was there. I walked out the door. I was so happy that every cow, every lamppost, and every friend that I met, I tell them about Jesus. That is why whoever you are, if you haven't given your heart to Jesus, today's the day, okay? You just say, Jesus, come into my heart. Okay, you young ones, give your heart to Jesus, okay? Because that's what's going to make a difference the rest of your life. Jesus. And so I accepted Jesus that day. I told all my friends about Jesus. And you know what happened, ladies and gentlemen? Dummy, I forgot to ask him to heal my malaria. But 2 weeks later, I feel better. I said, maybe God heal me. A month later, I feel even better. I said, see, the miracle probably has taken place. A year later, ladies and gentlemen, I was never sick again with malaria. I said, for sure the miracle has happened. Ladies and gentlemen, after 47 years, today, ladies and gentlemen, I have never had malaria or sickness of any kind these last 47 years. And I want to tell you, Jesus is for real. Jesus is alive, ladies and gentlemen.
Glory be to God. Oh, thank you, Jesus.
In the name of Jesus, you can be healed and be strong, because the presence of God is in you can make a difference. Because my Bible said, when the Spirit of the living God that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, it will revive your mortal bodies. It will make this body to become alive and strong in the name of Jesus. And so is everybody sitting here. You can be healed in Jesus' name.
Flying with Global Air Force.